Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name's Renee Lavallee McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about how we heal, and whether we're talking about physical healing, mental emotional healing, relational or financial healing, I think the principles are the same. And I've been involved very actively in healing practices for more than half my life. First, because I needed healing myself, and not that that's all done. I don't think we're ever done with growth, evolution, and the possibility for healing. But I like to say I've experienced enough healing practices that I became a holistic healer myself. And my own personal process continues, and it's particularly poignant for me right now, because I just had knee replacement surgery a few weeks ago. And I've always been interested in the mind-body-spirit connection, because they really aren't different compartments. They are all part of the same unit, different aspects of an indivisible whole, and each aspect has an effect on the others. In fact, it was my interest in mind-body connection and healing that got me curious about the possibilities of being a therapist myself. And I actually sat for quite a few years trying to decide which perspective on healing I wanted to take. I looked very seriously into becoming a nurse practitioner, approaching healing from the physical end. When I first moved to California in the late 90s, I got accepted to a graduate school in the East Bay in the somatic psychology department, which was all about mind-body medicine. Had a lot to do with me coming to California because there were no programs like that on the East Coast where I had lived up to that point. And the summer before I accepted admission into that graduate program, I took a bunch of classes at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California, an amazing organization of 9 theological schools from all different traditions that shares classes with each other. Amazing place. And I did that because I was seriously contemplating if I should become a minister. There was an idea of being a nun for a half a moment. And although I've had periods of celibacy, taking a vow of celibacy kind of killed that idea for me. So this triad of body, mind, and spirit had always kind of naturally made sense to me. And although I've spent the last 25 years primarily focused on the psycho-spiritual part of that, my own physical issues, and particularly the desire to age excellently, are bringing me back to the somatic or body-centered part of that healing triangle. And I think it's pretty well established that stress can make us sick, or at least compromise our immune system and cause all kinds of destructive things to happen. And so managing our stress spiritually, mentally, and emotionally is pretty well known to help to create a healthy environment for the body. When I was preparing for my surgery at Kaiser out here in San Francisco, a massive HMO system on the West Coast, they had me download an app called Calm, which is about meditations and stress reduction, and it even has positive affirmations on it for healing. And I find it really encouraging that this idea of mind-body medicine has really made it into the mainstream. Of course, it's been a part of Chinese medicine and Ayurveda for millennia. We're not making up anything new here in the West. But I was reintroduced to this idea of positive affirmations and how helpful they can be in physical healing. And I'm a trained hypnotherapist, so I am well aware of how much power the mind and the emotions can have on the body. And I've been experimenting quite successfully, actually, with some manifestation techniques about magnetizing or manifesting optimal circumstances in the larger world as well, outside my body. So this physical, mental, spiritual continuum and how they interact with each other. And I can't say I understand it, but I can tell you that I know that it works. Knee replacement surgery is pretty radical. They basically cut your leg off and put it back on with a new joint in the middle. They cut the top off of your femur and your tibia, two of the biggest bones in your body. And then they hammer a new knee joint into the bone marrow in each of those bones. Scrape the back of your kneecap off, put new plastic on there, and put the whole thing back together. Zip it up. And I did a lot of prehab, both physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. Did a lot of exercises to make my muscles strong so that my recovery would go faster and more successfully. And it's no joke. As soon as you're out of surgery and your anesthesia wears off, they have you get up and walk. They will wheel you out of the hospital, but you start doing exercises right away. And although the first couple days were certainly rough, I've been basically pain-free since day three, making really slow but steady progress. And I did a podcast on Progress Not Perfection, number 159. And of course, it's always easier to wax philosophical when you're talking about other people than it is to apply it to yourself. And it was probably about day five or six, I got really frustrated. I haven't had a lot of surgery in my life, but the few major surgeries I've had really, for me, opened me up. I feel incredibly vulnerable and sensitive. I didn't leave the house for like 9 days. Incredibly grateful to have loving members of my family of choice caring for me. I've been receiving excellent friend care, I might say. So I had been shuffling around the house using this walker. Wasn't strong enough to lift my leg even off the floor, a half an inch at that point. And I wanted to do some regular work on my computer. I couldn't find a comfortable position to sit in. My knee kind of swelled up. The whole thing really pissed me off. And so I ended up back in bed with my leg elevated and an ice machine wrapped around it. And I was looking out the window watching the clouds drift by in a beautiful, bright blue Northern California sky. And there's a tree outside. And I thought, you know, watching a tree grow is fucking boring. You can't see it happen. But that tree's growing all the time. And if you watch the clouds, they actually move pretty slow sometimes. And the sun is crossing the sky. The earth is always rotating. Doesn't stop. But I think we've gotten so used to time lapse, movies where an entire lifetime is squished into 120 minutes. I know for myself, I have expectations that things are going to happen fast on my agenda. And my knee wasn't healing fast enough for me. And I got frustrated, even a little discouraged, like, oh, well, maybe it's not happening at all. But I could think the same thing about the tree if I'm trying to actually see it grow. Now, certainly there's moments in a tree where there's big transitions, like when they burst into flowers or when fruit begins to ripen or leaves drop off. And over the last 2 weeks, I have had a major shift. I can lift my leg and actually do toe raises and heel lifts now. But most of the healing process is like watching a tree grow. And that's been my experience in my other aspects of healing as well. Mental, emotional, spiritual, professional, relational. Slow and steady over time. In fact, one of the problems that I think many of us face is that we think things aren't happening fast enough. We get discouraged, and so we quit. We stop watering the tree. And if you stop watering the tree long enough, it will stop growing. This is the wisdom of nature. It's the perpetual, patient progress. Sun rises every day. It doesn't take a day off. Now, I've been in California long enough, I can tell you it doesn't always rain, but over time, the rains will come. And so one of the very important tenets of how we heal is persistence, constancy, setting an intention and sticking with it. I struggled with my weight for years, gained and lost hundreds of pounds. I was perpetually on a diet. And it wasn't until I gave up dieting and decided to develop a way of eating that worked for me that I was able to lose and maintain a steady weight. Life-changing. Thank you, God. There was a point in time where I had a range of clothes under my bed from size 8 to size 18 because I never knew what I was going to weigh. And it could fluctuate that much in what seemed like a short period of time. It was horrible. And I felt like my body was my enemy. And really what was happening was that my body was manifesting the self-hatred, the unworthiness, the deep fears and resentments that I had on a physical level. My mental attitudes and my unresolved emotional junk. And I'm really excited actually to bring that lens into the deeper healing of my legs because I have some circulation issues. I've had chronic pain in my legs for over a decade, and I'm ready to heal that motherfucker now, and watch me do it. but it's not going to happen by next Tuesday, and I'm excited and encouraged to make progress. I remember the first major intentional shift in my relationship with my body was on a Buddhist retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh, and we did an extensive meditation sending love and gratitude to each aspect of our body, starting with our hair and our ears and our eyes, through all of our major organs, and down into our buttocks and genitals, legs, and feet. And I had always hated my legs, and often had an active inner narrative saying bad things to the parts of my body that I didn't like, pinching extra fat around my belly in a disgusted way, looking at my voluptuous thighs with revulsion because I wanted them to be long and skinny. And this experience of sending love into my body in all these really specific and intimate places and parts was revelatory. And there may have been shifts before then, but I remember that as a major one. And honestly, from that moment forward, I have always tried to have a loving relationship and to be kind, appreciative, and affirming to this physical body that I've been given for this lifetime. And like almost anything in the physical world, when we care for it, it responds positively. There's a lot of evidence that loving your plants will actually make them grow. Just like loving and appreciating your partner, your children, or your friends will nourish those relationships. And learning how to care for your money, your finances, your creativity, your work, anything we bring love, appreciation, compassion, and positivity to benefits from those resonances in productive and constructive ways. I have always been fascinated by the correlation between the areas or body parts where people are compromised, sick, or injured relates with their deeper underlying emotional, mental, and spiritual configurations. And most of us do have places of particular weakness in our body. Some people will have trouble with their neck, and if they get sick, they'll lose their voice or get a sore throat. Others have chronic issues with their heart, their lungs, their breasts. Almost all of my physical issues have happened from the second chakra down, whether it was constipation, sexually transmitted diseases, needing to have a C-section, and all these issues with my knees, hips, and ankles. And the chakra system, which looks at the meaning or correlation with the different energy centers of our body, provides a really interesting roadmap for what those physical ailments point to on these non-physical bases. So heart disease, lung issues, breast cancer are often correlated with dysfunction around love and relationship. In the heart center, people who have issues in their throat or neck are often challenged to speak their truth or reveal their authentic self in the world or to others. And my deepest wounding lies in first chakra issues of never feeling a part of or bonding, grounding in a tribe or family. Didn't have solid legs to stand on. And that's what's really exciting for me right now, is this idea of replacing the dysfunctional systems that I was given to stand on with new, stronger, more adequate ones. In modern technology, my new titanium knee is a miraculous gift from the god of my understanding. 40 years ago, when I first hurt my knee skiing, and they removed the interior meniscus because it was totally trashed and I actually couldn't walk. And I said to the doctor, what are you going to put in instead? And he said, oh, if you figure something out, we'll make $1 million. Well, now they have all kinds of stuff they can do. And I feel grateful to have lived long enough to participate. And hopefully have another 25 years to be able to really make use of this new baby. And I'm affirming every day that my legs are strong and healthy, flexible and pain-free, and that my body knows how to heal itself. This is very, very important point, because I believe we are co-creators of our reality and our experience. There's what we want from the universe or wish to bring to it, and there's what the universe wants for or from us. And like any good partnership, everybody needs to show up and do their part. And I don't understand how it works, but I do know that it is true. And even presently right now, I was reading about the incredibly complex healing processes that are happening in my body right now. And as a trauma therapist, I'm very interested in, again, the physical correlations in the psycho-spiritual realms. And the four stages of physical healing are hemostasis, inflammation, proliferation, and maturation. And the first step of hemostasis is when the blood vessels constrict so you don't bleed to death. And it's ridiculously fascinating and complicated, all the things that the body does and how it knows how to do this in order. So there's all this stuff that's happening with your blood platelets and fibrin, the epithelial walls of your blood vessels to stop the bleeding in all of the little capillaries, veins, and arteries of your body. And that's very attuned for me to the initial phases of a trauma response where people fight, flee, or hide and go into survival mode. And the second phase of healing is inflammation. And inflammation is the swelling, the taking on of fluid of the cells and all the different parts of the area that are damaged, and allows kind of highways for all of the repair cells to really move in and do their work. So your immune system goes in and removing pathogens and bacteria. White blood cells are in there, creating heat and swelling and pain so that you don't continue to use it and hurt yourself. And I mean, the details of it, I've been trying to learn, they're kind of beyond me as a non-medical person. But again, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, this is the defensive structures or the shutting down that a lot of people do. They don't want to get hurt like that again. We protect our tender, wounded parts. It's very easy to get stuck in inflammation on a psycho, spiritual, emotional level. And the body can get stuck in these phases as well. So I've been putting a lot of ice. I went and got some acupuncture and massage to really move the fluid around in my knee. It needs to be there, but it doesn't want to get stuck. My circulation needs a little bit of help. And then the third phase of healing is proliferation. And proliferation is when whole new tissue is created. Collagen, myofibroblasts, epitheliation. I love these big words. I would see that as the place of new systems and structures, of hope and creativity to not just repair damaged parts of ourselves, but to actually create new structures and systems so we can function again going forward. And certainly with a new knee implant, better than before. We could look at addictions and other aspects of mental illness as getting stuck in inflammation and recovery, good therapy, developing new behaviors as the creative, hopeful proliferation stage of new beginnings, different ways of doing things. And finally, the fourth phase is maturation. And this is when the wound fully closes. The collagen that was laid down during the proliferation stage organizes and aligns itself along the tension lines. All the repair cells, which had been in there in earlier stages and are no longer needed, are removed by apoptosis or programmed cell death and eaten up by the immune system. We might not need therapy anymore. We can leave the rehab. And the maturation phase in a physical wound can go on for a year or more. And psycho-spiritually, I think it can go on perhaps even for a lifetime. We continue to expand our healing into all the different pockets where old dysfunction or infection might reside. And when I finally left the house this week and was walking down Piedmont Avenue on my way to get a burger at Barney's, someone asked what had happened. I told him I got a knee replacement. He said, "Oh, you better do your exercises." My uncle had a knee replacement and he didn't do his exercises. Terrible. And so even though the body, the psyche, the emotions, and spirit have all of these wonderful healing potentialities, if we don't show up and do our part, then the healing will be incomplete or perhaps be derailed completely. It's like the diets that I used to go on didn't work because they needed to be that larger, sustained intention of healthy eating. Shifting my relationship with food, dealing directly with the underlying emotions that I was stuffing down with donuts and pasta, or medicating with vodka and cocaine. And although I do find it fascinating and really affirming all of the complexity that the universe offers and the wisdom that it has to help us to heal, my body knows how to heal. I don't have to tell it how to do that. Matter of fact, I don't even understand what it's doing. I just know it's doing that. But I need to show up and do my part to support it. Because if I don't, the healing may be incomplete. And so for me right now, the lesson in how we heal is to trust the wisdom of the larger consciousness system, my body, my mind, my emotions, my spirit, the incredible emergent, creative, regenerative forces for healing that is possible on all these levels, and to be open and honest and intentional and bring constancy to my own part of the process, like the sun that rises every day. Now, I don't necessarily need to do something every day, but I think about my frustration on day 4 or 5 because things weren't happening fast enough for me. That's hardly giving it a good shot. And if you want real sustained change in your life, even if you're experimenting with different things, it's a good idea to be consistent over a period of time and see if the tree is really growing. Generally, when I try something new, I like to do 6 months. Now, that might be too long for some people. I was actually talking to a client this week who's in a big life transition, is on a 3-month break in their professional life, considering what they want to do next. And they said, you know, maybe I'm going to quit drinking. How long would you like to do that for? Let's start with 30 days. That's reasonable. So it's important to pick doable, achievable goals, but we also need to have enough time in the process that the actual healing, those 4 stages, have time to do their work. I'm not doing squats or deadlifts yet. In fact, if I tried, I'd hurt myself, and I don't intend on doing that, but I will be doing deadlifts and squats again, better and stronger than before. So I believe we co-create the healing in our life, and I encourage you to consider where you would like to grow, what needs to be healed or matured, what's causing you suffering, and how can you co-participate to set up the optimal conditions for the life force to do its healing and evolutionary work. And I'll keep you posted on my own progress in the meantime. Thank you so much for listening. If you want some help with the 4 phases of your own healing, that co-creation process, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com. We can set up a free discovery call or a 40-minute introductory session. Deep gratitude to my supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.